news dump. The world is healing, Mac. Little tardy to the party, but mission accomplished. The onion wheel is making its way back to Costco.
Thank God. You know, finally, the world is back to normal. Costco's got its diced onion ring or onion wheel back in stores, are coming back soon. And finally, Goo can go back to Costco.
It was at first just a rumor on Reddit that maybe just in the Pacific Northwest, but Costco has confirmed to the Today Show that yes, it is coming back, completing the best $1.50 meal in the world.
I'm not really a Costco guy. There's a BJ's close to me.
Get
so.
This, buddy. You don't even have to be a Costco guy. Don't even need a card. You can go in there and dine whenever you want.
Do you think people do that? Are there human beings that do that?
I don't have a Costco card.
Yeah, but you shop there. No, I don't.
I just go in there and I eat hot
Which
dogs.
Which Costco do you frequent?
Waltham.
Is there one in Waltham?
Yeah. Exit 27 off of 95. 128. I don't know what you want to call it.
Is it over? I don't know where it is. Oh, there is one in Waltham. Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
News dump. Mac, we got a trailer that has me so excited. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. Big focus on being teenagers here, looking for acceptance, finding acceptance. Uh-oh, that acceptance is from some bad guys, and now they gotta save the day.
Yeah, Goo, this is just the plot of like every X-Men movie ever made. We have mutants that have faith in humans, mutants that don't have faith in humans, and those two mutant parties battle. That's what this.
Well, here's a little
about.
Different though, is that the mutants here are more like monsters. They can't even camouflage themselves as humans.
Yeah, that's fair. Which leads you to believe you might side with the bad guys a little bit.
Also,
more
it looks like the monstrous mutants are created by a Baxter Stockman, of course, voiced by Giancarlo Esposito. So I'm looking to see what they do there. Because the animation in that lab, kind of creepy.
Goo, I think this movie looks good.
Yeah.
I feel like, however, and this is nothing that Mutant Mayhem can do about it, I'm going to be jaded the whole year about animated movies now that Across the Spider-Verse was so fucking good and exceeded my expectations.
You can welcome more than one animated movie into your heart.
I know, but I'm just going to be like, wow, I think I want to go see Across the Spider-Verse again. You know what I actually didn't love in this trailer is Splinter and Splinter's voice.
I did. This will be the first time I believe, and I could be wrong, that someone of Asian descent is actually voicing Splinter.
Yeah, I didn't care for the take on it.
Oh, you prefer Kevin Clash, the voice of Elmo?
I prefer every other take than the one we got in this trailer.
Either way, I'm super stoked. I really like the animation, and we didn't talk about this last week. You weren't here, but the score will be done by Trent Reznor
and Atticus Ross. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. This movie's going to be good. I feel like baseline, this will be a very likable movie. I'm still a little shooketh as to how much emotions were evoked by Across the Spider-Verse.
Good news for you.
This won't be on that page.
We have 2 months. It comes out on August 2nd, so there's a full 2 months between the movies.
Okay. All right. I got some time to figure that out.
Get some time to figs it out. News dump. Back, we got a runtime and a rating for Oppenheimer, and it'll be over 3 hours, 3 hours, 9 minutes to be exact, and it'll be Nolan's first rated R movie in over 20 years.
This movie better be fucking awesome, because if it's not, it's going to get killed.
Well, I think we talked about this, where just judging by the trailer, it looks like it's telling two different stories. Where it's telling the before of the bomb and the aftermath of the bomb. So they might need the full 3 hours, 9 minutes. Also, it's Nolan on like a revenge tour. He's so mad at WB for what they did to Tenet that this has to be good.
But if you just look from an unbiased opinion, now that you
I
have
refuse
seen
to do
Tenet
that, but go ahead.
And thought about Tenet and researched Tenet on the internet after you watched
Neil
it.
Neil backwards is Maximilian, I know.
How was anyone supposed to market Tenet?
As a cool movie to see in IMAX, and obviously at the time you couldn't do that. So that's what really hurts it.
Here's how I would market it to people. Go in fully expecting you're not going to have a clue what the ending means. And then that way, when you get to the ending, you're like, okay, yeah, you're right. I didn't know what just happened.
Go in not expecting to be attached to any characters, like say the character named the protagonist. I don't know, give him a name. Who knows?
Yeah, sometimes these great directors got to be reined in a little bit. And I have a feeling.
Well,
that
a 3-hour movie sounds like it's not being reined in. That sounds like a director's cut.
That's what I'm saying. I said I'm having a feeling that Oppenheimer is not reined in, and we're going to be sitting there at the end saying, you know what, this was really good. It could have been a lot better.
You know who's not a fan of Oppenheimer? News Dope. Reports say Tom Cruise is pissed that he will only be getting 1 week of IMAX showings for Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning because Oppenheimer comes out the week after and they have a 3-week exclusive to IMAX theaters because Christopher Nolan shot the entire thing with IMAX cameras.
Yep. There's actually been a viral thing out there last couple of days of Christopher Nolan in front of the 11 miles of 70mm film.
That's insane.
The 3-hour and 9-minute runtime of Oppenheimer, which is preposterous. So that all that film wound up looks like it's like the radius about 10 feet. It's fucking
imagine
massive.
The longest fruit roll-up you've ever had.
I will say, you know, of course you want to see Mission Impossible in an IMAX type theater.
Yeah, yeah.
But one of the best things about Christopher Nolan movies are the scores and the soundscapes.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to see that in IMAX,
but
too.
Also,
so I get both sides of this.
So, like, why is this just coming to Tom Cruise's attention? Right? That's my question. Like, how did he not know that releasing his movie 1 week before Christopher Nolan's means that you're not getting the IMAX theater?
He's still been doing the victory tour after being thanked for saving cinema. And I also think he's still been putting together the pieces of his brain after they were blown apart from seeing Flash a few weeks ago. So I think he just now realized that Oppenheimer comes out a week later. At this point, James Gunn in my head, Sean Gunn in my balls.
Yeah.
I'd go Mission Impossible over Oppenheimer.
Yeah, but you have a week to see it beforehand. It's not like they're coming out the same day and you have to choose.
I said, what did I just tell you? James Gunn in my head, Sean Gunn in my balls. I gave you the scenario.
Right, but like Cruise is mad at the theaters. He's mad at Oppenheimer. Why not be mad at your studio for not figuring the scheduling out?
Yeah, this is a busy couple months. We've been talking about it for weeks now. This run-up through June and July are very, very busy couple months of cinema. And I hope they're all good. But at this point, you're like almost forcing us to debate the movies when you have a topic like this.
Well, to be fair, though, WB is putting up Barbie on Oppenheimer Day on purpose to get back at Nolan for leaving them.
I don't think you have much intersection with those two audiences, though.
This might be my favorite three-way feud in a while.
Great triple threat match.
Yeah, and you know, Barbie used up all the pink paint.
If you had to marry, fuck, kill those three, what do you got?
Oh my gosh, those movies. Okay. Well, let's see. Oppenheimer might take me a lifetime to finish, so I guess I'll marry that. Then.
That's an ass backwards say. I was going to say Oppenheimer, easy kill. You fuck Mission Impossible because you know it's going to be a hell of a ride, and you marry Barbie.
I might F Barbie, though, because that's a big, flashy, bright, possibly funny movie. We don't know if it's funny or serious yet still, guys.
Oppenheimer will probably age best, too, so that's maybe a good marry.
But having said that, I think the one that we know will be good, like, has the highest floor, is Mission Impossible.
Yes, for sure. Now, the other tidbit here, Goo, that we kind of glossed over on the last topic, is very interesting that Oppenheimer's getting an R rating. It'll be the first Nolan film to get an R rating since 2002.
I said that.
I know, but we didn't really talk about it.
Okay.
I wonder what, is it just because of the subject matter?
I think he might show, you know, because of the subject matter, you can really get your point across of like, you know, how this guy feels about creating the fucking bomb,
yeah,
you know, by showing the deaths. You're going to show deaths.
Maybe it's
yes.
a little more brutal than we're anticipating.
Because like, not to compare the two, but you know, like Dark Knight Rises, if you had shown some of those deaths, as opposed to cutting away when someone shoots at them and then they cut back and they're just laying on the ground with no blood, there's a big difference there.
Let me posit this, Goo. Those two, those second and third Nolan Batman movies, imagine the potential of those movies if they were R.
And now to jump into this, Mac, is that Think of the fact that Across the Spider-Verse, let's go ahead and S that D real quick, is only rated PG.
I'm cupping the balls here.
How'd you do that? Only PG.
It's true. You can get away with more stuff animated, I think. I think you can sell it easier.
News dump. Killers of the Flower Moon, early returns. People like it.
Yeah, this is the next Martin Scorsese film that's coming out in October, Goo, but it's just sort of finished its festival circuit. And right now, Goo, a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes from the critics, a 91 on Metacritic. And that sounds all fine and dandy until you consider this is going to be a 3-hour and 26-minute movie, longer than Oppenheimer.
So he's been talking a lot recently in interviews about perishing.
Well, he is old.
He is old. So is this his swan song?
I have an inkling here that this and Oppenheimer are both going to be nominated for Best Picture. And there's going to be horrible, horrible debates like 6 months from now about how we got to stop nominating 4 hour movies for Best Picture.
And then we're going to say, give it to Air.
No, Air. Hey, actually, legitimately, probably not. But since they nominate like 10 films this day. Do you think Across the Spider-Verse deserves a Best Picture nom?
Yes.
I think so, too.
And I think Air will also get one.
Yeah, Air probably will.
Yeah, so news dump. Mac, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. Michael Keaton told Empire magazine that he's almost positive that that line was not in the script, and that's all from him.
And that makes a lot of sense because it's a fucking terrible line, and it's my least favorite line from the movie.
So number one, shut up. Number two, could you imagine being
titular
Batman, are second billing on the poster, and Nicholson is just out there spouting nonsense. I'm of a mind to make a moogie. Never rub another man's rhubarb. Just making fart noises out the door. Keaton had to do something.
If a grown man ever asked if you wanted to get nuts, would you laugh out loud in his face?
I would go to the candy store.
You want to get nuts? Oh, man. Yeah, I guess I believe him that it's improvised because I think, like, I don't think any screenwriter would write that ever.
Right, but it fits so well into that scene, so credit to him.
Yeah, really, really big
credit. Nicholson had that written line of, yeah, you want to dance with the devil in the pale moonlight. So he needed his catchphrase.
Obviously, we saw the callback to this in the Flash trailer. Now, the callback I get and I like because it is such a popular line, but the original line is bad.
Batman? Do you say bat?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Do you like that line more or him sleeping like a bat more in the movie? Remember he sleeps upside down?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
I think that's the worst part of the movie.
That's pretty bad, too, because he was not bitten by a bat. He does not have bat powers. However, he was on one of those extension tables, you know, help his spine out.
You think he has a bad back. Spine. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Decompress his spine a little bit.
Backman.
Then I could do it.
Yeah, I got you.
Backman.
Across the Spider-Verse has dominated the box office, second biggest weekend of the year, $120.5 million, just behind Mario, and it is also the third biggest Spider-Man open ever. There's like 100 of those movies, and 208 worldwide.
Yeah, credit to me for keeping this in the movie draft and drafting it last year for 20 dogs. And again, Davey not keeping Mario for like four. What a contrast.
ROI. ROI.
The more I've been removed from it, I actually worked a detail this past week, a little peek behind the curtain here, and a little kid walked by in a Spider-Man
and he said, are you Mac from the Mac and Goo program?
Yeah, he called me.
It was a little New York kid, of course.
I said, hey, did you see the new movie? He said, yeah. I said, it was awesome, huh? He goes, it was amazing. Little kid loved it. So
awesome.
From 8-year-old kids to 34-year-old cunts, we all agree. Across the Spider-Verse, best movie of the year.
But hey, if you're on the street, don't let Mac talk to your kid.
No, we were on the sidewalk.
Okay. News dump. Speaking of Spider-Verse, Tom Holland was at the premiere for Across the Spider-Verse, and while in discussion with some, I don't know, tabloid, I'll say, he mentioned that Into the Spider-Verse is the best Spider-Man movie ever, which makes complete sense that he would say that because generally you won't mention your own project as being the best of anything ever.
It's called being humble.
But then he also said after, you know, Across the Spider-Verse is also amazing. It's very close.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, and again, we're only 3 days out from the premiere of Across the Spider-Verse, so we haven't had too much online discourse about it. But the conversation between Into and Across, who liked what better?
Yeah.
In my mind, like, clearly Across is better, but I'm interested to hear people's arguments if they're saying
no,
Into is better.
I'm heavy into Across, but I understand the argument for Into.
I like, to me, the only argument for Into is that it was first. It was groundbreaking.
Shorter, too.
First
shorter.
Time anything. Yeah, but only like 20 minutes shorter.
Like, think about how much we liked A Quiet Place, too, because it was 90 minutes.
No, I get that.
Like, when that movie was over, what did I say to you?
But that, yeah, you're right. You did enjoy it most.
That was the first thing I said to you. That was only 90 minutes.
Yeah, Into, there was a lot of people when that came out saying that was the best animated movie they had ever seen. And I just couldn't get on that train. But I am fully aboard now.
Also, that first one only made like $30 million in its opening weekend, too.
Yeah,
so.
It definitely caught people by surprise.
Yeah.
And they're really setting up this third movie to fail because these first two
now,
were so fucking
can
good.
You just, can your water be half full and not half empty?
Never gonna be.
I'm never gonna like another cartoon again.
Not 4 days before we saw Across the Spider-Verse did I say to Goo, I don't think I'll ever give out another 40,
yeah,
40
you are,
to an animated movie.
You are worse
credit
than,
to me. People can change.
You are worse than John Kerry. Always flip-flop.
You almost couldn't find the reference there.
I knew John. I almost said Kelland. But Kerry was who I wanted, though. He was dope.
Hey. Back away, banana breath. What the hell did you see in a banana?
That sketch, that line got me. I love it.
The third time through, it killed me.
Yep.
It absolutely killed
yep.
me.
I think you should leave. Season 3 is now available on Netflix. News dope.
Yeah, listen to hashtag dork this week.
What is this topic here? I can't even see it. There we go. Live action Miles Morales movie is in the making. And some higher-ups there at Sony, I believe it is producer Amy Pascal, is saying it's all happening, not just this movie, but also a Spider-Woman animated movie as well. Hailee Steinfeld?
I fucking love Hailee Steinfeld. You know, what I just said about Beyond the Spider-Verse applies to this. Boy, could you be setting up a movie more to fail.
Yeah.
Now, Miles Morales is awesome,
yeah.
And I would like to see him in live action at some point. But to announce this on the heels of the second movie before the third movie comes out, like, give it some time to breathe before we bring him into live action.
Although,
you know?
If I'm Sony, though, I am rushing him in to be my Spider-Man in Venom, Crave,
excuse.
And everything else. Yeah. Like, hey, you can have that old twerp Peter. We don't need that guy no more.
Now, I have to imagine that part of Marvel's deal does not include
No,
Miles.
I think it's just Peter Parker.
Yeah, so Sony definitely could rush this into production.
I'm pretty sure. I don't know the logistics.
Yeah, you know what? Tweet at us, Kevin Feige.
Let us know, Kevin. Or Amy Pascal. Let us know that. Also, I would be super into a Spider-Woman movie.
That character, especially now that we've seen Across the Spider-Verse, is such a great character. And you just really root for
like,
that.
I don't care about the Madame Web movie with all the Spider-Women in that.
Although
I want this one. I want this movie. I want the Gwen Stacy.
Her suit looks fucking awesome.
I love Hailee Steinfeld voicing her.
Yeah.
Even leave her in her own dimension in that cool watercolor looking. And maybe you can tighten that up to like 90 minutes because you don't need 2 hours of that. But give me that.
I guess it's just the hood. But that hood makes that suit look fucking amazing.
Mac loves hoods. He's always talked about that.
I'm so good.
He's a bald boy. It's a bald boy. Bald boys love hoods.
Yeah, got to protect the dome piece here.
Here's dumb. Mac, Vin Diesel blames Jason Momoa for the Fast X disappointment for being too over the top, and reports from insiders say that he is also mad that he stole the show and stole the thunder in the good reviews.
So, two parts here.
Yes.
I vehemently disagree and wholeheartedly agree with Vin Diesel, all in the same breath here. When we first saw this trailer, I said, it looks like Jason Momoa is not acting. It looks like he's just high on drugs in the middle of this movie. On the flip side of that, no one is stealing Vin Diesel's fucking shine from a Fast movie. And to kickflip off of that, I think some of the downside to this movie is they announced this as the first part of a three-part finale. We don't need 13 Fast and Furious movies. We don't need 10. We didn't need 7. I think 5 or 6 was probably the limit.
Having not seen this movie, but just listened to the How Did This Get Made for this movie.
Oh, they already have an episode out.
They get those out for Fast and the Furious the week of. From what I hear is that Jason Momoa is really over-the-top flamboyant. And at one point they're like, oh, they didn't make him evil enough. But then he is talking to and painting the toenails of corpses.
And a sidebar to this too, which is completely actually very relevant and relevant to our next topic. Vin Diesel's going to stop getting in media battles.
So that's the whole thing, too. So it seems like it's a him problem.
It's if he keeps getting into issues
with his co-host where he doesn't like being shown up or one-upped.
And his most successful movies of the last 15 years has been him saying, I am Groot. So I think he's got a little bit of an ego issue here.
My fragile. It's my Vin Diesel. You might have thought he was here. That was me.
He hasn't been cool since 2003.
New step, Triple X.
Yes.
Speaking of his other co-host, The Rock is set to return to the Fast and Furious franchise. This off the heels of the failure of Black Adam. That was actually one of the lines in How Did This Get Made, where Seth Rogen goes, I'm so happy that Black Adam failed so The Rock can go back where he belongs.
Yeah, get this tidbit, Goo. And this was via The Hollywood Reporter. The Rock is returning for an upcoming Fast and Furious movie, so a movie in the universe, part of the franchise. He'll also be producing it, but it is not considered Fast 11 because, again, we have a three-part finale for Fast X, and it's not going to be Hobbs and
Shaw. So let me jump on that for a second. Let me kickflip off of that. The other rumor is that him and Statham have a rivalry too, The Rock and Statham. So it seems like it's a Rock thing, not just a Diesel thing.
So it's a Rock and a Diesel thing. Jason Statham is legitimately cool. I don't think it's a Statham thing.
Oi! So you hear that?
What's it? Stavy in the room? That's a new branch of the Fast universe, Fast franchise that none of us need.
I love it. Everyone hates each other, and they on screen they're all about family.
How do you not have fun filming these movies, and they come away from these movies hating each other?
It'll cost like $400 million. It's all green screens.
All they're doing is driving cars and doing stunts, and they come away upset.
Oh, did you see that Netflix ad where it's Arnold Schwarzenegger and Chris Hemsworth in an elevator talking about their movies and their shows?
I missed that, no.
They're both in separate places. Like
it's one of those.
It's green screen.
Yeah, gotcha.
It's bad.
It's like the extended dystopian world in the Snyder Cut where the Joker's not in the same place as everyone else.
Give you a nice reach around. New step. Mac, we got a trailer for season 6 of Black Mirror. Did you know this is that when you look into your phone, the screen is black and you can see yourself in it?
How about that, Goo? Yeah. I'm sure you just blew someone's mind. Did you see this trailer? Did you catch this trailer, Goo?
I did not.
I fully admit I wouldn't consider myself a Black Mirror guy. However, the best
would you
Black
consider
Mirror
yourself
stuff,
a Mac Mirror guy?
There you go. Fucking smash that.
A Mac Blearer?
That's much worse than the first joke.
I don't know, flipping the letters around, maybe. Who knows?
The best Black Mirror stuff is great.
Yeah.
However, not even the middling stuff. Most of it is like middling to bad. Mm-hmm. But the best stuff is great. Season 6 trailer announced 5 episodes. We have Annie Murphy in here, Aaron Paul, Josh Hartnett, among others.
He's back.
Josh Hartnett. The Josh Hartnett episode is also the Aaron Paul episode.
Oh, he's maybe back. He's awesome. Back.
So we'll see. We'll see on this. Since it's only 5 episodes, I'm definitely going to watch it. That's what I'm starting to realize. These 5-episode ones or shows that release their full seasons, I usually end up watching the whole thing. When you get me week to week, I end up falling behind or forgetting. And just give me it all at once, please.
Oh, my wife watched all of Love and Death last night.
Really?
Have you seen that yet?
No.
Jesse Plemons.
Did she like it?
She did. The only issue is that Plemons is our age.
Yeah.
And he looks like that.
Yeah, he's
you know what, though? Credit to him. He's such a good actor. Doesn't even matter.
Like that Paramore song. Hard times. Hard times. I think he's a big drinker.
Is he?
That'll do it.
I don't know if he is. I feel like you're making that up.
His fucking face. Kidding me?
He's married to Kirsten Dunst, and she was in Spider-Man.
He's married to Kirsten Dunst?
Yes.
Kirsten Dunst?
Kirsten?
How old is Kirsten Dunst?
42.
So he married up. I don't mind that. Oh, speaking of.
Hold on. When you marry someone older, that's not marrying up. Are you saying looks-wise or age-wise?
Well, no. Well, I'm stardom-wise.
Let's agree age-wise, first off. But go. Let's agree looks-wise, but go ahead.
Stardom wise, number one, and number two, Kirsten Dunst is much more attractive.
He's
than
a pretty big star.
I mean, now, but I'm sure when they got married, he wasn't.
Who knows?
But also, she is much more attractive than he is.
Yeah, I know. She was in the Virgin Suicides.
That's marrying up. Sure. Yeah. All right. Next topic.
Oh, okay. Wimbledon, too. She was in Wimbledon.
Speaking of women in their 40s, you made the dumbest remark you've ever made.
No, no. What did I tell you on the text? What did I tell you on the text?
You said not to bring it up.
I said, do not bring this up.
The final two episodes, or final three episodes of Dave, actually two of the final three, featured a 40-ish Rachel McAdams in Goop.
44.
I think she looks better than she's ever looked. Give me this version of McAdams over any previous version. And the character she plays, the personality she plays in this, I was so attracted to her.
The rules are, if we say it in the text and we say, don't bring this up on the show, you don't bring it up on the show.
Meanwhile, Goo said she wasn't attractive, something to that effect. Anyways, Goo.
I said Simmons is old.
This past week, we got the series finale of Barry.
Yes.
The season finale of Dave. Let's start with Barry because it's completely over. I liked the final 15 minutes of the series. The middle of the season to that point, I didn't really like.
There was an episode. Like, there was the jump forward episode that I thought was the most boring 40 minutes I've seen in a while.
It was tough, man. I doesn't it feel, and I said it to you before you got there, doesn't it feel like they rushed this season a little bit?
Yeah, I could see that. And the penultimate episode, I'll tell you right now, I love that episode. The second to last episode was great. And I really liked if the show stopped 10 minutes before it ended.
Oh, see, no,
I would have liked a cliffhanger of knowing.
Right. With the Sally stuff. No, you're right on that point. I did like what happens to Barry. I was a fan of that. Mm-hmm. I just feel like this season needed like three or four more episodes, or they needed a split season like Breaking Bad did, something like that, where it would have been a little bit better it would have been easier to digest.
Yeah, they almost should have done like at the end of, say, episode four or five, you do the jump forward and then you take a break.
Yes.
Like you let that settle in.
It would have been more palatable. Mm-hmm. I have real mixed emotions about Barry as a series. The idea is great and the best episodes are some of the best episodes of television of the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there was a lot of boring episodes of Barry, especially after season two.
I'll say I love the first two seasons. I think the first two seasons are almost perfect.
Yeah. I like season two more than one, but I agree one and two are better than three and four.
Yeah, so I recommend it. I would still recommend it.
Yeah, it's worth a watch for sure.
And then Dave, I think this is not quite at the level of season one, but I think season one still had that new feel to it. And, you know, that kind of lost its shine a bit in season two, but it got it back here.
I loved this season.
Okay.
I loved it. You're right. I don't know if I loved it as much as season one, but it's damn near close. But season one might be a 40-dog season of television. That's a great season of television. And this is damn near on par. Mm-hmm. And I also, it was cameo heavy this season.
It was very
cameo
heavy.
The way they used them were like in unexpected ways. And I really liked that. Like the Brad Pitt stuff was fucking
I'm going to tell
awesome.
You right now, the fact that Brad Pitt was in 30 minutes of the finale, like, I kept on expecting him to leave.
Dude, is he the best actor on the planet? He's fucking
the best.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's the best.
He's so good.
Yeah.
He's so fucking good.
He seems like the coolest
episode.
Guy both on and off screen.
Yes. He just pulls everything off, man. I love the season finale. I love the season. If you're asking me which season I'd rather rewatch again, Barry season four, Dave season three, Dave season three.
Easily. No, I thought season three of Dave was way better than... And, you know, there were some high points in Barry, but there were way more lulls.
I just don't understand why you give us NoHo Hank in season two, right? And he's like clearly the best character on the show. And then they just give you a little bit of him in season three and four. It's like very frustrating. When you have a character like that, lean into it. I know the show wasn't on the outset. You didn't set out to make a show about NoHo Hank, really. Yeah. You did get a nice emotional story during the four seasons involving him. I wanted way more of him and way less of Sally. Sally fucking stinks.
Okay, so I had this conversation with my wife where, like, so I do not like Skyler from Breaking Bad, but mm-hmm. you understand her purpose.
Amen.
And, you know, she's not a terrible person.
You understand her motivations, but she's incredibly annoying.
Yes, but Sally, there is nothing redeemable about this character.
Zero! Nothing! You don't understand any of her motivations. She's just a... she's manic and unreasonable with no backing to it.
Also point this out, and if you don't want anything spoiled, I don't know, turn off the episode. This is a very, very minor spoiler.
You got like 3 minutes left, yeah.
But the fact that she ends up being a high school theater teacher is the perfect way for her to end. Can you think back to any drama teachers? That's the exact person.
Yeah, you know, you are right about that. She's a very much a drama teacher type. It's just, she was incredibly annoying. She really was. Fuck. Honestly, it took me like 4 watches to actually get into Barry from the outset, because it was so hard to like buy into Hader's character.
Yeah.
And then you're dealing with Sally as well. She's just, I'm not going to say she's not a good actress, but the way they wanted the character to be acted was very,
I mean,
very,
I would just say
annoying.
That the way the character was written. I mean, that I hate that character.
Yeah, it's a sucky character.
I would argue, and you know, this is top of the head, I can't think of anyone else right now, but maybe the worst character ever.
I think you could put Marie in the conversation with her, because
so Breaking Bad is just so much more of a popular show. But if Barry had the height of Breaking Bad and the viewership of Breaking Bad and the people that love that show love this show, I feel like Sally would be up there or beyond either of those two characters.
I think you have to go Marie more annoying than Skyler, because Marie's motivations
that's
make
fine.
Less sense.
But now Marie...
And she's more of a Sally level.
Or Sally. Sally's
worse.
She's
on that level. It's those two.
Because Sally's more of a main character, too.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that.
News down.
Oh, we've got some screenings this week, Mac.
Yep, we've got Transformers Rise of the Beasts, which I am for some reason looking forward to. Goo's not so much. And then later in the week, we have The Flash, because we got fucking okie-doked last week on our Flash screen.
Yeah, and then I was told via email that I'm not an influencer.
Well, that was the worst news you've had all year.
It really was. I almost cried. I was like, I'm pretty sure I think I am.
The social media embargo lifts for
so
The Flash.
That's the reason
days.
Why I really wanted to see it before the social media embargo.
Yes. Yep. For you, the listeners out there, if you're looking for our social media reactions, our one tweet reactions about the movie, you'll probably have those Friday morning, I'm guessing, after we
Or,
on
hey,
it.
You know, a video. A nice
oh,
video. A nice
oh,
1 minute
TikTok.
Crisp review on TikTok, Instagram right. Reels, Facebook Reels, YouTube Shorts, all
hey.
Of them.
Hey-o.
Bang. Takes me like an hour to post everywhere because I'm not going to pay for that one that shoots it off everywhere. Plus, apparently, you're supposed to post to all of these things at different time. Like TikTok on Fridays, 3 o'clock is a good time. But on Instagram, it's 5. So you got to hold it for 2 hours.
I think you could post anytime on TikTok, honestly. I went from never using TikTok my whole life. I got it, 6 months ago? And now I'm on TikTok for like 4 hours.
The algorithms. The algorithms, Mac.
When I visit the bathroom, TikTok. When I'm sitting down, TikTok.
Makes sense. You're always in the bathroom and you're always sitting down.
Those two things. All day.
Usually at the same time.
Yeah. You can combine the two.
Pooping. Always pooping. All right. That'll do it for this news dump. Check us out at the end of the week for Transformers Rise of Beasts. There's a big monkey in that one.
If that movie sucks, maybe we do Barry and Dave stuff or something.
If it sucks, I'm going to want to talk about it more.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
If it's middling, I'm not going to want to talk about it.
I think there's a chance it is the third best Transformers movie. But
that
that's
is
not saying much.
So much high praise.
We have the first movie and Bumblebee. Those are the top two.
And Bumblebee was really good. Is that the last
Bumblebee
one that just came out?
Was very good. That might be the best one, actually.
So they're on a hot streak.
One for their last one.
Transformers, more that meets the eye.
You nailed it.
I know. I know. News dump. Now it's time for girls jumping on trampolines.